Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to try to complete the book of Ephesians one of these days. I've told you before, as we started studying this book, that Apostle Paul was in prison at the time that he wrote this book. He was, as we read in the book of Acts before, how that he was taken and put into jail there by the Romans, and then finally taken over to Rome and put into Rome. And boy, the trial was severe, and eventually he gave his life. They beheaded him. But he preached this, he taught this lesson in the book of Ephesians. He taught this book and had it sent to them. And there are others also in our text here in the New Testament. So today, we went on, last week, we started on chapter 5. Hallelujah. We're going to start in verse 9. It says, the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth. This is what the Lord has given us. He says, walk as children of light. So let's bow our heads first and we will pray. Lord, we're trusting in you to give us the word of God this day that you want us to have. We know that it's important for us to learn the things that we're talking about in this chapter. Many, many things God is trying to correct in our lives, in the lives of the people back there in Paul's day. And we're believing you just to work in our lives and bless us as we begin to study this text. Praise the name of Jesus. So we're just going to read a little bit here. Let's start with verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, what does it mean about the fruit of the Spirit? It means the Holy Spirit, as he works in our lives, that he works in us. He changes us. He comes out in goodness and in righteousness and truth. That's what he is doing in our lives, changing us. In Galatians 5:22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, and faith. That's a lot of things. And sometimes as we look in that list, we might think, well, I can love other people. I have quite a bit of joy. I have peace most of the time. I have some long-suffering with other people. Yes, those things may seem kind of difficult because I'm going to tell you, they're not of you. They're not of yourself. You can't just say, I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to do this way. That's not the way it is. It's by letting the Lord govern our lives. Let the Word of God mean something to us, that it speaks to us. It speaks to us good things. To follow God and walk in the Spirit and let that come as our existence in this life, where we're going to love one another, we're going to have joy, we're going to have peace, we're going to have long-suffering and goodness and faith. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more that you hear the Word of God, the more faith you're going to have developed into your life. And boy, do we ever need it. Praise the Lord. So, in this 9th verse, it says that the Spirit is in all goodness. The Spirit works in us in all goodness. And I look up things, as you know, okay? I look them up in the Greek and things. And this is what this word goodness means. Virtue of beneficence. In other words, the Holy Spirit is always working in us something good for us to grow in Christ. And then righteousness. It's what happens when we come to become a Christian. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He declares us as the righteous children of God. We have justification. We are now the children of God. Praise the Lord. And then he says, uses the word truth. This word truth, how important that is for us to have truth. Have it not only as something we hear, but something that actually controls us, controls our lives in the Spirit as we walk in God. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. What pleases. That word acceptable means what is full of agreement or what pleases the Lord. Proving what is pleasing unto the Lord. That's what he wants to have in us. He has it all patterned. He knows what he wants. He wants the children of God to follow and walk with God. So proving, we're going to prove this. It's going to be tested. It's going to be approved. It's going to be allowed. It's going to be examined and tried. In our lives, as we want to walk with God, we want to yield our lives to the Lord, it's going to take some things that God is going to do, watching after us and proving us, testing us. And then notice it says acceptable, and that means fully agreeable, well-pleasing unto the Lord. See, he doesn't just say, well, just decide what you want to do now. Just decide what you want to do. Whatever you do, whatever comes out, that's okay. That's not what God says. He has the patterns all right here in the Word, what he wants us to do. And also, he teaches us that when we have Jesus Christ in our life, what comes out of us is going to be Jesus Christ's life. See, we have the life of Christ in us. We've accepted salvation, and Jesus Christ is in here, is in our being. And we are the children of the living God. We are the sons of God. Isn't that beautiful? That the Lord wants us to enter into this thing that is acceptable. It's what pleases God. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed into the things of God. Be transformed, praise the Lord, but praise God for that beautiful scripture. That's what he is doing. And you know, it's not up to us. It's not like, well, I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to be good and I'm going to do everything right. And so God's going to have to really love me. It's not the way it works either. It's by our coming to the Lord and saying, here I am, Lord. I want you to work in my life. And I'm telling you, folks, and you know it, it's going to take some trials. It's going to take some tests that are hard, that you can think sometimes, I don't know if I can stand. And that's the truth. You can't. You can't stand by yourself. You've got to have the strength of the Lord. That's why when we go through these trials, we can call out to the Lord Jesus and say, Father, just Lord God, be with me. Lord Jesus, be with me. Protect me. Help me. Praise the Lord. And he is so faithful. Verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Yes, don't have fellowship. It means a share in the company. That's what that fellowship means. It means joining in with groups of people who are, they're carnal and non-spiritual. Praise the Lord. But it says, don't be partakers, but rather reprove them. Don't be in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Praise the Lord. And so how do we reprove? We bring forth the opportunities that we have. We share with other people about how to walk with God and yield to God. It's really important to realize that we are people who are called of God to share in the company and to be a partaker of for our own need, but also to help others. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And boy, is that a scripture? That is really the truth today, isn't it? Oh my goodness, the United States, all of the world, but we've got a mess here. We've got a terrible mess. And the devil is really at work. But praise the Lord, we can come to the Lord and just tell him all about our needs, our problems, and help us to get by and help us to be faithful. And he will give us that strength. It's not us. It's not, I'm going to be a good little girl. I learned that long time ago when I was a little girl. I know now that how to please God is to just yield my life to God. Let the Lord govern me. And that's what he wants in our lives. All right, so verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Okay, then all things that are reproved. The word reproved there means to rebuke. In the Greek, it means actually the word rebuke. And so things that are rebuked by God. God has a pattern. The Word of God has a pattern. And he says, this is what I want you as a Christian, how you should live. You should follow God and pray and seek God and be faithful to God. These are the things that the Lord is telling us. Yes. So, but all things that are reproved are made manifest to the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The Lord is doing that. Praise the Lord. And going on in verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. He wants us to wake up from our sleep. And it's interesting how he's not talking about natural sleep. He's talking about spiritual sleep. That we can easily get taken up with things of this world and let the things of God just kind of float by. And, oh, yeah, someday I may do that. I might follow that, but it goes really fast. And so he says, arise from the dead. Get up from there. And Christ is going to give you the light that you need. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. If we remain asleep spiritually, we can't be totally in the light. Did you know that? Think of yourself when you're asleep in bed. You don't want the light, bright light shining on you. You want it to be a little bit darker. You want it to be peaceful. You want to have some rest. And so in the spiritual sense, praise the Lord. The Lord wants to give us light. He wants to give us that thing that we can see. We can see what is spiritual, and we can see what is not spiritual. And that's what he wants us to do. Praise the Lord for that. Glory to God. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Praise the Lord. Circumspectly. That word means in the Greek, exactly, perfectly. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of us can exactly work perfectly? Spiritually speaking, we have to let the Lord work, don't we? We have to say, here I am, Lord. I'm not always exactly what I should be, but I want you to work in my life and bring this thing into me that I will begin to walk circumspectly, exactly as you want me to walk. And it's relies on God's work in our life. It's not our own, you know, stubbornness or some we can say over and over to ourselves, I'll never do that again, or I'll never say that again. And first thing you know, we're doing it, you know. So we have an old nature, and you all know that. So that's what goes on there. But he tells us there, see then that you walk circumspectly, that you're in exact and perfect condition, and it's only through Christ. You cannot please God in your own strength. There's just nothing. We don't have it. But when we depend on Christ, he's going to give us the power and the strength to go and do what we have to do, whatever it is. And he's going to be faithful. He says, not as fools. All of us know what that means. Not as fools, but as wise. The scripture talks a lot about wisdom, about what we as Christians need to be doing. We need to exercise wisdom. And that wisdom I'll say it again, it cannot just be you're guessing about well, maybe if I do so-and-so, you know, that'll help me and I'll be okay. And, you know, that's not wisdom. Wisdom is when we come before the Lord and we say, here I am. I'm a stupid person. I need your help. Here I am. I want you to give me the wisdom of God. It's a spiritual thing that he does to his people. He gives us wisdom. He teaches us what we're to do, what we are to govern in our life by the Spirit of the Lord. He teaches us all those things. Oh, how precious it is to know Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Notice what he says there in verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How do you redeem the time? I've always had a problem, I might call it, in the natural, because I try to redeem my time all the time. I've worked in great big businesses and things where, you know, we had a certain amount of time. You've got to get it done now. You've got to do it now. So that's not what he's talking about here. Redeeming, the word redeeming in the Greek means to buy up the time, to ransom, to rescue it from loss. Okay, now how are you going to rescue the time from loss in the natural sense? Let's think about spiritual. How many times that you want to take some time every day and study the Word of God and pray before the Lord and take the needs to the Lord? I'm sure everyone here has thought, since they are a Christian, that it would be a great thing to have some time to pray and time to read the Word of God. And if we will do that, there'll be a great and marvelous thing happen in our lives. We will be so blessed because it will remind us constantly of the Lord, redeeming that time, using that time for the Lord and witnessing of him. And also in our daily life, out around people in the natural. To, you know, I've got a woman next door to me that I'm real concerned about right now because her husband is really, really sick. And it looks like he may not live. He came over here and helped us build the latter part of that building on out there. That man that came from down there, he didn't charge a thing. He just came and did that. But they have never been in church here since then. But I am praying for her. I am praying for him. That right now, redeeming this time, because the days are evil and things are bad sometimes. Verse 17, wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. Now, in the Greek, the word unwise doesn't just mean, you know, I don't study enough or something, and I just don't really know how to read real well. That's not what that's meaning there at all. That word unwise there means, be you not foolish. Don't be foolish. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The devil will want us to be foolish, just taken up with natural things. And that isn't what the Lord wants in our life, especially right now. Jesus Christ is coming soon. He's coming soon, folks. We need to be ready when he comes. But he says, but understanding what the will of God is. In my lifetime, I've heard a lot of people talk about wanting to know the will of God. I've prayed a lot that way myself. My family has, my mother, my father, before when my father used to walk with God. They're gone to be with the Lord now. But I'm telling you, we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And in this, it is very important because he has an understanding that he wants us to understand. He has something he wants us to understand, and that is how to be an overcomer in Christ, how to yield our lives to God, what to do in time of trial and tests, and march on. March on, soldier. March on. It's time to follow God. It's time to walk in the Spirit and yield our lives completely to God. It's so important. And so he says there, for that, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time. take it up and use it, because the days are evil. And do you all agree with that? United States, oh, the world, we have an evil world. Verse 17, wherefore be you not unwise, not foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That word will right there, I have to tell you these words because they're interesting. To me, they are. I hope they're interesting to you. When it says the will of the Lord, it means his desire toward us and his desire and his wish for us. You know that the Lord has a definite thing for each of us? We're not all the same people. Now, we have things that we're the same. We're alike on certain things, which are wonderful, to know the truth and love the Lord and have this place. But praise the Lord that he is working those desires, his desires and wishes into our life all the time as we let him do it. It's important to let him do it. Hallelujah. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine, whereas is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a beautiful thing. Be not drunk. It means to be intoxicated. And as he says there, wherein is excess, it means more than you should have. Now, in those days of Christ and the days of the disciples, they didn't have good water like we've got in places all over, even over there in those countries. It was very wild, and you know, they just didn't have the wits or something to understand how to have really good, clean water. And they did drink wine. And Jesus, we just had in one of our lessons about Jesus having the wine, creating the wine there in the country where there was a wedding. And it wasn't an evil thing that Jesus did when he created the wine. But what would have been the worst thing is that people get drunk so much. And that's what the Lord is not willing for us. Be not drunk with wine. That's what we want to. It's excess, more than you should have. In the Old Testament time, wine was drank often, but we all have seen the damage of that. We've seen the damage of drinking, haven't we? Totally different. Now, beginning in verse 19, now we're going to read. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what we did this morning. We sang good songs that talked about Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? So when we have this word speaking, now we want to think, because he is saying psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How do songs speak to us? That's what he's saying. Speaking, talk with, utter words, preach. These are the meanings of this. Say, speak after, tell, and utter. That's what that means to say speaking to yourselves. Okay, when we sang some of the songs this morning that had spiritual things in them, did they speak to you? They always speak to me, and I enjoy the beautiful songs that talk about Jesus and about the victory that we have in Christ. Those are all things that speak to us. Isn't it a beautiful thing to think about how blessed we are, as the word speaking, to talk with us, to preach at us. That's one of the words for speaking, preaching, saying, speaking after us and to tell us something. In psalms, now psalms is very spiritual and edifies, and in a special way. We know about the book of Psalms. It's a beautiful thing. If you haven't read Psalms, try to get into that you read some of the Psalms and meditate on what is said there, because it's so wonderful. 150 of them. Beautiful, beautiful Psalms. They're not all David's Psalms, but the ones that were King David's were very, very spiritual, speaking of God's blessings and his goodness, and it's worthwhile. I'm going to read to you one of them. And this is one of them I love. It's Psalm 150. Praise you, the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. This is one of his sanctuaries, his place to worship. We worship him. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Emphasize that. How great is our God, one of the songs says. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's the Psalms. Notice what it says here. It's Psalms and hymns. Hymns are religious music, and all of us know what they are. They are beautiful because God initiated those hymns. He's the one that spoke to people's hearts to write down words, just like our brother sang today. It's written down there, and we can come back and sing a special off of that because the Lord gave them that song, and it's beautiful. And so how precious that is to have the hymns and the spiritual songs. And we all know there are spiritual songs and there are non-spiritual songs. There's some that are not really spiritual at all. So we are to sing and make melody. We are to sing and make melody. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? I like it. I like melody. Spiritual songs. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Glory to God. That is what we want to do. Spiritual songs. And when it says spiritual songs, it means songs in the realm of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's a song that we know it's right. It has the scripture in it. The Holy Spirit has revealed it to somebody and they've written it. And it's a blessing to read it because it's a spiritual song. Glory to God. It isn't carnal, but it is divine. It's supernatural. It's regenerative. It's religious. And it is spiritual. That's why it's called spiritual songs. It's God in his word is a spirit. He has spiritual songs for us to sing. Praise the Lord. These songs are therefore God's word. These are God's word when we sing the spiritual songs. Hallelujah. Now this was something that was recorded in my computer, and I'm going to read this to you. A spiritual song might express the joy of one's salvation. That's why we like to sing together and worship the Lord and remark about what he's done for us, and reveling in the grace of Christ, or exalting the greatness and the power of God in short and spiritual songs can communicate. They communicate to our hearts. Revelation in the body of the Bible, pardon me, in the Bible encourages us to sing a song. Praise the Lord. It's so important. It's just really, really important. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then in verse 20 of our lesson, if you look at your Bible there, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we do in our singing. We are worshiping the Lord. I hope there's not a single soul in here that sings just to be heard. I hope we sing because we love Jesus and we want to exalt him and we just want to worship him. Singing is a beautiful thing to do, to worship. Do you ever do that at home when you're by yourself? Or out feeding the cattle or whatever? You can do that anywhere you are and worship the Lord. Glory to God.